Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. You know, there's this strand of flu going around, and it's knocking everybody at my work out, but I think it's some sort of purple flu, because all of Baltimore City is underneath this spell, man. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's ready. We got the Ravens in the postseason. We've got so much happening since the last show. Of course, on the phone with me right now, my co-host. What's going on, man? What's up, Josh?
I don't know if I can do the show, bro. If I got this purple fever, man, it's really bogging me down.
Oh, you know what? Everybody's feeling it. Everybody's got, you know, the chills, but they're sweating because, you know, they're got so much anticipation. They got so much energy, get ready to go, got so much fire in their bellies. The Ravens, man, last time we had a show, we were talking about whether or not Ray Lewis was actually going to be in the lineup for this last game in the postseason. The next day, the guy talks about the fact that he's retiring after this season. So you and I talked, you know, about doing a special show just for him last week, but, you know, we decided that we're kind of going to let the season, the rest of the season kind of roll on and see what happens with him. But what a game on Sunday in Baltimore. Ray Lewis's last dance at M&T Bank Stadium as an active Raven. I know Ray Lewis is such a huge influence on you, man. What was going through your head on Sunday? Because you were actually there. You were live to see it.
Brandon, I was live to see it. I mean, fans, I'm just going to be honest with you. I might get emotional during this podcast and more of a sudden I should, like I did with the R. Modell one. And you're right, Brandon. We did the podcast and then the news broke the next day. And it was just like, and you're right, we're going to actually do it right by Ray Lewis and his legacy. And we're going to do a whole podcast dedicated to him and his legacy, his career. And we're going to have fun with that one, and but we're going to talk about that now. And, yeah, I was there. I was right above the tunnels, and the energy. And put in perspective here, I've never been to a Ravens playoff game in person. I would always watch on TV because, obviously, it was never the right timing. And the tickets were expensive. I could have gone last year, but I didn't want to pay triple prices. And, you know, not I would pay it. Like, Brandon and fans, you know, just understand how crazy I am. Like, I would pay $500 for a ticket to go to a game. That's just how crazy I am. But, you know, I'm not getting it personal, but obviously I can't afford that right now. But I had a chance to go season tickets this year. We got the playoff tickets locked up. Oh, my God. Like, the energy. I was up at 5:15 on game day in the morning. Couldn't even sleep. It was like Christmas morning, bro.
You know what? This was something that the whole city was a part of, and you were lucky enough to see it live. But even if you weren't able to be at the stadium, you just felt this electricity and how important this game was. I mean, leading up to it, Ray Lewis, he made this official on Wednesday that he was going to step away from the game, and this was going to be his last ride. At the end of the season, he was going to retire. And, I mean, stuff that, you know, Jack FM, local radio station here in Baltimore, on Sunday they renamed themselves Ray FM.
I didn't even know that. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, they renamed themselves Ray FM for the day. You know, this great track on Mix 106.5 they put together with Ray Lewis, him, you know, doing a speech, and it was to In the Air Tonight. I mean, everybody, every single T-shirt, "Thank you, Ray," was all over the place. This guy is such a huge part to this city. And, of course, like you said, we're going to do it right by him at the end of, you know, after the Super Bowl is over and everything in the off season. But somebody said it. I don't even know who it was. So I'm sorry if you're the one that said this to me and I'm not giving you credit here. But when the Colts left town for Indy in the Mayflower trucks, you know, Baltimore really lost football, and they lost a passion for the game, even though they always wanted that football back. And even when the Ravens showed up, everyone was happy, everyone was giddy, but it was really Ray Lewis who put that passion back into every Baltimorean's heart and made the game fun again, because everybody could just feel how important this game was to this one guy, and how important it was to play play in Baltimore and how he connected with the city. So, I mean, this really is the heart and soul of the Ravens. It's going to be a very different team next year when he's not around. But this is just going to be crazy. This is his last ride into the sunset. And I got to say, I think the Ravens on Sunday, you know, did a pretty good start of that last ride. I mean, they put their foot full throttle on the gas and they just went.
Yeah, last ride, it doesn't even begin to put in perspective that the legacy he left, and this is his last ride. And the news, yeah, I remember even talking to you this week about when we got the text messages of the news of retirement breaking, and a lot of my friends were like, that's a text message I never wanted to get. I knew it was impending, and I remember talking after the season when he got hurt, me and yourselves talked. We even talked, Brandon, was just like, is this going to be his last team ever? We don't know. I thought it was going to be next year. I didn't think it was going to be this year. And if it was so, I was kind of very shocked that it came 4 days before a game because, like, unlike Cal Ripken, where he said it preseason and then he paraded around the whole major leagues and was like, okay, and it gives everybody a chance to say goodbye to the legend. And I thought Ray would do that. I thought he was just going to go, hey, y'all, this is my last season. It's been great. And then and it began chances, and not only the Baltimore fans, but the away teams as well. The last chance to see Ray Lewis, and you know the Denver fans actually, you know, I envy them, and any select Ray fans are actually going to the game out there. If I had two grand laying around, I'd go to the game too, but I'm jealous of them because they actually, pending a Ravens loss, which we all in our deep purple hearts know that hope that doesn't happen, but this could be his last game ever, and he'll be there in person. It gives Denver fans even see, you know, minus the dance, to see the legend he truly is and to get them to see that. It's just, that's what I thought was going to happen. So just wrapping it all up, I know this show's going to get out of hand with all my Ray's legacy and how can we not? It's a big deal in Baltimore. It's a tradition, but we'll dedicate our show to that at one point. But it's just bringing it all back home, being there for the dance, the way it started, you know, Ed Reed pointing to the tunnel and it was like, here he comes, and with the way he was bowing in prayer, came out, he did his dance. I really have a voice after that. I was screaming, there was emotions. You know, I even bought a T-shirt, and I'm going to actually tweet the pictures out this week, that said, had Ray's face on it, said Baltimore, you know, not Baltimore, but Ray Lewis's last ride, 2013, on the back. It had his career statistics, and it had all his accolades, and it was just well done. And I don't think it could have been a better experience, especially with a playoff win. And to cap it off with Ray being on the field for the last play and him doing his dance in midfield, it just gave me chills. And I welled up. I welled up on his dance because everybody was asking me, you know, did you cry? And how could you not, man? It was just, I cried of joy because we won. I cried of, you know, I cried of joy because of what he put us through as a franchise, as a person, as a player he is, and what he's been through. And I welled up on the first dance, but when he did that dance at the end, I remember screaming so loud, and then I actually had believe it or not, I will admit this, and I'm not ashamed of it. You know, I had tears running down my face, and I'm going to get choked up saying this, but excuse me, fans, but the girl next to me, I wish I'd taken a picture. She had a sign that read, and this puts it all in perspective. She wrote a sign that said, "You'll always be number 52 on the field, but number one in our hearts. Thanks, Ray." And Brandon, you can agree that basically puts in perspective how he was our second draft pick overall, and how he's beloved this city. I mean, we have billboards with his face on it. He is the franchise. He is the Ravens. And to him to go out and play his career all 17 years like number 8, the legend, did for the Baltimore Orioles, that shows volumes. And the way he did this unscripted, it's giving me chills just talking about it. Bringing the culture full circle and showing the fans and bringing it back to the fans and saying, you know what, this is what I want to do. And it was in the moment when he made that lap around the stadium, that kind of just hit you and we're just like, that's what it's all about. He was giving back to the city what we gave 17 years of our heart and soul for, and all of our monies and all of our time and tailgating, going to the games and buying his jerseys and buying the Ravens merchandise, supporting this town, this city. And he came back to us. He even said at a press conference himself, he wished he could sign every autograph, but he couldn't. He wished he could slap every hand, shake every hand, and he even said he was wallowed with emotion, but he remembered he had a game to play, and it just showed. And even Harbaugh echoed, saying that the fans were incredible. I've never heard Harbaugh gush about the city and the fans being like that. So, that, Brandon, that was an experience. That was just a tremendous experience.
You know, being there live, I wish I could have been there with you. And the Baltimore, you could hear it on TV, man. You could hear everybody screaming. I mean, that place never quieted down. And I don't believe even, like, the newscasters even have ever heard a stadium that loud as when Ray came out and did his last dance at the beginning of the game.
It was crazy.
You know, he had actual grass. He had a pile of grass there that he could pull from. He did his dance. And, I mean, they even went on early. They're like, listen, Ray Lewis is doing his dance, so we're just going to let you guys watch that. I mean, the emphasis was on Ray Lewis and was on the Baltimore Ravens, so there was a big spotlight there. And I'm happy to say that, you know, the Ravens did pull out a win here against Indy. It was very important for the city to see that happen, and it was important for everyone to come together for Ray Lewis. There was so much emotion there, and to have Chuck Pagano come back to town, and you saw him, you know, talking with Ed Reed before the game, talking to Terrell Suggs or hugging Terrell Suggs, you know, at the end of the game. It was a great win for this team. It was a great way to send Ray Lewis off to Denver. This was a great last home game for him. And we talked about this when Ray got hurt against the Cowboys, that this injury wasn't going to take Ray out. Ray was going to go out on his own accord. And if this is when he chose to do it, you know, there's many reasons. We'll talk about that, you know, in the offseason, why he chose to step away now. But it wasn't because of an injury. It was because Ray knew it was time to go, and Ray was going to go out on his terms. And he fought, and he did everything he could, and he got back, you know, for these playoffs. So you're going to see a guy that has, you know, he knows this is his last ride, and he's playing like it. He's playing like there is no tomorrow, because down after three games, there is no tomorrow for him in this league, in being an active part of the Ravens. And he said he'll die a Raven, of course. He's not going to go to, like, another team or come out of retirement or something like that. I can't see him doing that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about this past Sunday's game. What a game for the Ravens. And besides, you know, having Ray Lewis back on the field, which I think energized everybody, the team showed up. Everybody did their equal part. But we got to start off talking about the defense here, who finally, all of the components were on the field at the same time. We had Ed Reed, we had Haloti Ngata, we had Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis all sharing that field for the first time ever this season. And even those guys were on the field. I got to say, the standout here for the defense, guy who's playing for his contract, he wants a big one, Mr. Paul Kruger, who last week, if you remember correctly on the podcast, I said Paul Kruger and Courtney Upshaw, they're going to have big games this week. And Paul Kruger came out, man, and he had the whole crowd talking. Everybody, you know, everybody was talking about Ray Lewis, but right after Ray Lewis, Paul Kruger's name was being mentioned a lot in this game. What a performance he had.
You're right. There's a lot of people that stepped up on this team and came together as one. And this is what it's about. It's about team. In 2012, it was all about team. And, you know, no matter what people say and what the pundits say, that, you know, I know this podcast is going to go all over the place. And, again, you know, we can do that because we're the call and we can do what we want. We always say that, and we love it. But what Reggie Wayne said, and kind of rubbed people around and pissed us off a bit, was, you know, when he said that things are disrespectful and I'm going to put those laid to rest, I don't care what he says. They lost. He's an opinion. It just hurt because he was a former U player. But besides the point, you know, Ray's dance is always because it brings together what we're all about. You know, celebrating what we're about in defense. And this is what this town knows. They came out and they played their hearts out. They played their butts off. How do you let a team, Ray, just get this in perspective. How do you let a team have 87 offensive plays and not let up a touchdown? That brought it back to the 2000 stats almost, where it was just like, they are not crossing this goal line. It was like Ray said, no. He said, this is what's going on today. They made 3 out of 4 field goals. Granted, they had some drives. They made some big plays as an offense. Colt did, Andrew Luck. But he was under duress all day. One of my favorite series was when Kruger and Suggs got him, and then Kruger came in, and the helmet, I think it should have been a strip fumble, a sack fumble, and he was just under duress, and a lot of people were telling me on TV he looked like he was shell-shocked. He looked like he was hurt. You know, I was like, I bet you're hurt. And Kruger played out of his mind. I think he had, what, 2.5 sacks?
Yeah, 2.5.
It's amazing. And just this is what we're all about. We had, like you said, we've had all components for the first time on defense. For the first time, we had 52, 55, 92, and 20 all on the field. all the parts working, minus our IR players and Webb and Klain, and LRB stepped up. He was getting in there. The blitzing was perfectly well timed. I was just thinking about that. Just seeing sitting up in the stands, you can see things develop. And then you can see the stunts, you can see the delay blitzes. I seen the one where Ray was lined up on the far right, and the offense was coming towards me, and the defense had their back to me, and I said, look, Ray's lined up, and there he is. He started pass rushing. He even had Ray there pass rushing. They were, it was just like Dean Pease told his defense, let's go. And I think with everybody being back and with Ray's return, I hope the wave of emotion doesn't stop. And it doesn't stop because we had their home crowd behind it. But this team was all about defense. They showed it in a 24-9 win. It was great. And it's just all phases worked together. Yes, there were some minor things in there. You know, Ray Rice needs to still kick the football to his hands. I don't know what he was thinking, giving us a little scare. But what a compliment Bernard Pierce provided. He just took the running game on his back and said, you know what, Ray? You might have got a couple fumbles, but I got you. And he picked up the slack for Ray Rice. That shows a lot of the rookie. And just him putting that on his back and having a 103-yard rushing day and setting up a key drives there and had a big run. And just this offense, we can go on and on about the big plays. This team was about big-time plays. And I'll tell you what, this defense, if they'd have gotten a hold on the football, they would have had about 6-7 interceptions. Ed Reed would have had a pick six, and poor Ray, he didn't have that brace on, he would have had a pick, and I could not believe he dropped that. I was like, Ray, come on, man.
I know. I think Ray Lewis got maybe the emotion got a little too much for him, because I think he was kind of seeing that end zone before he actually got the ball caught. But he followed it, man. He tried to get it a couple times before it hit the ground. But yeah, interception. Kerry Williams, he gets a pick in this game.
Yep, almost a pick six. Yeah, Luck, I got to give him credit. Luck ran him down.
He got pulled down there. Torrey, let's go to the offense real quick, because defense was just amazing. I mean, this was really a defense on all four cylinders. I mean, any time that the Colts or Indy tried to do something, man, they answered them right back and like said, no, you're not doing that. You need to sit back down on the bench. But the offense, man, there were a couple hiccups with Ray Rice, two fumbles. It's his first two of the whole season. We're in this game. He didn't fumble at all. He didn't get any lost balls or anything like that in the regular season. Joe Flacco, he came out a little bit shaky in the beginning, but dude showed up, you know, halfway through the game, and he threw, you know, amazing passes to Anquan Boldin and, you know, Torrey Smith, who was doing both blocking and, you know, jumping high and catching balls as best he can. I mean, this offense looked great. You saw Dennis Pitta catching a few. You saw the running game improve. The only kind of bad mark was that Joe Flacco overthrew Tannen Doss a few times. And even though Tannen Doss, you know, had his hand on the ball, he couldn't really get a grip on it. There was a lot of people yelling at Tannen Doss on Twitter, complaining that he should have caught those balls. But the guy is not 6'4". At least I don't think he is. He's not playing basketball. I don't see him being able to catch them in the first half for those throws from Flacco, because they were so high. But really, you know, I kind of just covered the entire offense, but these guys, you know, they kind of at the beginning kind of were a little bit slow and sluggish, but they opened up real quick, and you know, this offense looked really good, especially now in the playoffs.
You're right, and a couple key plays here and there, a couple fumbles here and there. The offense stepped up in the second half. I had to be honest with you, you know, it was 10-3, a little shaky. And flip it on the defense for a minute, start with the end of the first half where it was 3rd and 19 and the defense had to let a little bubble screen go to Hilton, and it ended up being a key first down for him, and ended up being 10-6. And I was like, man, this game is going to be close. And it was like, what, 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, 3-0. It was just, it was a field goal contest, and then we broke it open early with a lead touchdown. But how about Joe Fox making big plays, and how about, and I want to really break it down here. We're going to talk some X's and O's here, because obviously I was at the game, but when I got home and actually broke down the highlights and actually got to see what happened, because obviously I see a lot more things happening at the stadium than you don't on TV, and then you see a lot more on TV than you don't at the stadium, so you kind of get both worlds. But going back home, you know, how about Anquan Boldin just saying, look, guys, I'm going to carry you, and he ended up putting a performance like another in the playoffs where he actually was on sacred ground as a receiver for Ravens. How about a playoff high for any Raven in a playoff game? 145 yards receiving, 5 catches, 145 yards, and a touchdown. he's obviously going to get the game ball. And here's what I'm going to talk about, effort. You talk about playing like a Raven. How about this? I didn't even notice this guy at home, how that guy defended him, had his arm in his face, and Bolden caught that ball around his arm.
That was pretty amazing.
Held onto the foot. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And that's one of the plays of the year for me. And it just goes to show you. I mean, it reminded me of when Derek Mason caught that touchdown in Dallas with the broken shoulder, and he caught it with one arm, with the one arm hanging. It was just, it's that kind of effort that makes you play like a Raven. This is what Ozzie was talking about when he came and traded for Bolden and got Bolden and Landon Baltimore, was he plays like a true hard Raven. He's tough, he's physical, and he just put the team on his back, and a couple big plays from Joe putting it on the ropes there. And this is why I want to talk about precision. How about Torrey Smith? I think Torrey had only notched one catch. But how about the blocking? I actually noticed in a couple of highlights, Torrey Smith led out front and had a couple key blocks, for one for Jacoby Jones. He had a key block on a run, and then he had a key block on Dennis Pitta's touchdown right at the goal line. It's just the little things that these guys do. See, Torrey Smith could have just been a, what you call a diva receiver. I'm going to run my route, and I want to whine because I'm not getting the ball. You know what he does? Well, I'm going to help out this team other ways. I'm going to get downfield and block some people and make ways for the other guys carrying the football, because it's a team effort. And this is what it's right about playoff time. It's about team effort. Who cares about throwing five touchdowns? Who cares about catching 50 balls and breaking records? Right now, the record we're trying to break is get a second Super Bowl for the city. And they're on their way to do it. And discussion about that, you know, I'm going to call out the players who get game balls. Bernard Pierce gets a game ball, obviously. 13 rushes, 103 yards. He put the running game on his back when Ray Rice couldn't pick up the slack. He could. And Anquan Bolden obviously gets one. Mr. Flacco. Everybody gives him all flack. Oh, Flacco sucks. He threw five picks. Oh, he threw zero touchdowns. He sucks. We need Kyle Bowler back. We all know how other people love to whine about this one. How about Joe Flacco only throwing it 23 times between 12 passes for a measly 200 and change yards? But here's the thing, two big touchdowns and 125.6 passer rating. The guy just wins. He puts the team on his back. Granted, it was at home. If he does that in Denver, he'll be not elite. He ain't going to be elite until he wins a ring. But, you know, because apparently that's what you got to be. That's what elite status is, unless, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to leave the conversation to rest. He's a very, very good quarterback. He's not elite. But 125.6 passer rating, and people are arguing that, oh, well, Romo's better and blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't see RG3 putting up numbers like that. I didn't see Andrew Luck put numbers like that. Joe Flacco, telling you, he gets the game ball for the offense. He minimized mistakes. He took care of the football. There was a couple of forced throws in there where he could have ran for first downs, which I thought were a little bit, you know, suspect at best, where he threw one in there, Torrey jammed it, and could have been a pick. And another thing about offensive woes is, I don't know if it was play calling or execution. I'm going to say play calling because it shouldn't have been two passes. We're first and goal on the five. They run it with Pierce, he didn't get anywhere. But then they throw it straight two times at Doss, like you were saying, and he dropped them. Flacco put it on there, but you only have a 12 to 15 yard window to pass it in, and you have all these defensive and offensive guys around. Just run the football. Give it to Leach, or let Leach lead block, and run the football, or you put Hoody Knott out there and run block. It's common, simple science here. You know, you're like 5 yards, run the football. You got two good weapons, run the football. And I was just saying, you can't do this in Denver. If it's first and goal at the five, you come away with three, they're going to lose the football game on Sunday. We'll get to that a little later on. But what a performance. And the whole defense is going to get a game ball because they play it out of their minds.
You know, I want to stick on offense real quick. I want to bring this up to you. I want to have a little conversation here about Joe. Now, Joe, you know, he did have time to throw that long ball, and he did, you know, he did a lot of throwing this game. And here's the reason why I think it might have happened. If you noticed, a guy who only played one regular season game, really, Bryant McKinney was in the lineup. And
That's right.
Bryant, yep. McKinney, you know, he was ready to go for the playoffs. You know, he had a rocky start with training camp and some other things coming out about him. So he had a really bad, like, personal season, I'm guessing. I don't know if he was in the Ravens doghouse or if he was actually hurt or why he wasn't playing. But here's a question to you. Do you think with Bryant McKinney on the offensive line, did that give Joe Flacco more time and more time for the receivers to get open? Because we talked about this before that, you know, we can blame Joe for everything and throwing the ball too high and stuff like that. Yeah, that's on Joe. But if the receivers don't have time to get open, that's not completely on Joe. That's you know, you got to give the wide receivers and all the receivers time to get open so he can throw the ball. So do you think that Bryant McKinney is the secret weapon here on this offensive line?
Absolutely, Brandon. You bring up a great point. I'm glad you did. And he gets the other game ball. We'll pass another one out because without him, Joe's blindside was protected by Mr. Unsung Blindside and Bryant McKinney, number 78 over there. And you have to put this in perspective. He was blocking Dwight Freeney, who I think only had one or two hurries on Joe all day. I didn't even hear Dwight Freeney's name even mentioned all day or even seen him in the backfield, and Joe wasn't really under duress by him. I know Mathis was in our side giving him grief, but or Rosario, that's another point. But, you know, you're right. Bryant McKinney, whatever doghouse he was in, I'm glad Harbaugh straightened it out with him and just said, you know what, you're playing because we need the best people in the field right now. It's playoff time. We cannot lose. And you're absolutely right. He did a great job of protecting Joe and couldn't say enough about it right now.
Yeah, I know he's had his own personal problem, especially with, you know, not showing up to training camp and stuff like that. But when you're on the field and you're getting it done, it's really hard to argue with that. Now, if he has a bad attitude or whatever, that's something that the team's going to have to decide what to do after this season. But it seems like he's working really well with Michael Orr right now, and it seems like Joe's given the time to actually do what Joe can do. You know, that's an important part about being a quarterback. It is making those decisions, making them quick. But maybe Joe isn't throwing the ball and getting sacked a lot because people aren't open, and he doesn't want to risk throwing that ball, even though he does get a lot of interceptions. I'm not going to say what's going through Joe's head, but that could be one of the things going through it, that no one's open, so I just got to hold on to the ball and get the sack. But now with McKinney in there, it looked like he was given some time, and you see what happens when Joe has some time. He gets things done. So that's something, you know, that fans can kind of look for. See if McKinney's on the field for Denver and see if that affects Joe's game in any way. But yeah, let's hop on to the defense again. Let's talk about them. You're giving a game ball out to the whole defensive whole defensive part of the team. And I agree with you. You know, I think they all get it. But of course, special game ball, special legacy ball has got to go to Ray Lewis. But you know, just for this game, Paul Kruger, man, he played his butt off. And this is going to be a contract year for him after this is all over. And I got to say, I hope the Ravens keep him, and I hope they pay him a lot of money because I really like this guy. This guy gets the job done.
You're right. He does get the job done. He's one of our great draft picks a couple years back, and it was really good to see him actually step up for once. And not to say he hasn't done it before, hasn't been on a consistent basis, but he was there to do what he needed to do all along, and we need that other pass rusher in there. And if we're going to get pressure on Maine, and then possibly if we have to end up playing Tom Brady, we're going to have to beat these elite guys. You're going to have to do that in the next couple of weeks in order to be in New Orleans. And it starts with trying to do that against Peyton and the Broncos. And if we can apply pressure on them the same way we did Luck, it's going to be a great day for us and a long day for them. And, you know, we're going to segue right into the matchup against the Broncos. That's what's going to be the keys is the offensive line of the Broncos and the defensive line of the Ravens is, can we put pressure on Peyton and not let him sit back there and pat the ball and look who he wants to look for and have him make those big plays like they did against us here a couple of, 3 weeks ago. And the game wasn't really that bad. If you really break down the matchup we had previously, they only won by 14 points. Granted, we scored two touchdowns late because it was 31-3. They were whipping our tail, and I'll admit that I was there for that. But you have to think, Eric Decker was wide open for touchdown. Terry Williams got beat. I hope he don't get beat because he played great this weekend and this past weekend. And if one for a Joe Flacco pick six, which we all know was a mistake, the tie, it was momentum swing. It could have been 10-7, 10-3 at least. It was 17-0 at that point. And we held Peyton Manning's offense score, practically, 10 points for a whole first half. And this is what I'm excited to see. If this defense can step up again, not to say one more time, but if they can rise to the occasion again and try to ride that emotional wave from Baltimore to Denver, and we're going to be in a hostile environment from now on, and if this defense can match up well, and again, we all have our parts, like Ray said, paraphrase what Ray Lewis said this week, we all have all of our parts now. Last time was different, and this time it's different. You know, we had a lot of key injuries. All of our defensive players were on the field now. We're all firing. You know, all the components are back in place, and this is what it's all about. And if the offense can carry it over, we can minimize mistakes. Luckily, we overcame. This is what I said on Twitter this week. You know, Ray Rice may have fumbled twice. He may have criticized him, but here's the thing. We overcame that as a team. We both tied in the turnovers at two apiece. Usually if you lose a turnover battle, you lose the game. But if they can take care of the football and have a couple of takeaways on the defensive side of football, it's going to be a victorious Sunday, or Saturday, I should say.
You know, it is going to be it's a short turnaround. That's going to be something that the guys are going to have to deal with. There's a lot of things that they're going to have to deal with, especially since we saw these guys and it's fresh in all the fans' mind of how, you know, Joe Flacco looked in this game just a few weeks ago against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. But before we go in and really start talking about this game coming up on Saturday, we're going to do something here a little bit differently than we've done on the call before, because we want you guys to remember what happened against this this team just a few weeks ago and get you pumped up for the game coming up. I don't know if you've seen this online or not, but there's this great group out in Baltimore called Free State Workshop, and they do this song called The Ravens Nation. Now, this song came out last year, and they updated it for 2013, and we talked to them, and those guys are really cool, and they actually gave us permission to play the song here on the call. I can't thank them enough for that. It's Free State Workshop. If you want to go check them out, go to facebook.com/Free State Workshop. Tweet to them at Free State Work. Make sure you tell them that you heard their song on the call. And if you want to see the video, great footage from it, edited so well together. A lot of great stuff from Ray and Art Modell in there. Go to youtube.com/Free State Work, and they got plenty of other stuff you can check out. So real quick, we're gonna play this song here. This is Ravens Nation 2013 by Free State Workshop right here on the call.
Ever play for is to make my team be a better team. That's my brotherhood. Those bonds are forever. My fans, my city, they deserve that whenever this road stops, for me just not to walk away. Everything that starts has an end. I may be gone now, but I'm not gone forever.
One heartbeat! One heartbeat!
Don't ever drop your head when you come to a loss, dog.
One man! One man!
We got an opportunity to keep going, man.
It's the business! It's good!
This right here makes us strong.
Let's go, we do best. One, two, three.
We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation.
Smash Mouth is the game in the town that we claim. Be more unchained, my team so reckless. Once again, it's in range, crosshairs are trained on the ring with the bullies in the trenches. Ray Rice on the go at Devontae and Lowe's. 2-7's got his eyes on the trophy. Torrey flies on the throw, slam dunks on the post. No squad can roll with Jacoby. Mr. Kruger about to slash your dreams. A bone crusher hit it like a casualty. Unleash LB, watch him tear through the line. Ed Reed's on a war pit, who cares about fines? Nodders drilling, sizzles grilling. What more can I say? We killing on cue is illin', carry spilling. Wait till be more plays. We killing on.
We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation.
Peace mode is achieved, let it feast, let it breathe. Did it in the middle on his fast as feet. The city that reads the deepest deed. The greatest you've seen, strapped in the cleats. Fall so hard, pass the degree. Black stand tall and passing them deep. Do what you do, the Tory and Q. With Tory and Q, catch with these 99 problems that'll break your bones. Now I got a move that'll break your nose. Jacoby got a Jones for the end zone. Dancing his way and the kicks and throws. Been here before, it's a whole new game. It's a hardball thing with a call ball aim. Let's do this for art, do this for rain. Let's get them all and get the rain.
We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation.
We'll protect this house, this home, castle, throne, battle zone. When the passes, don't even the pastor knows. Hail Marys can't save you, we'll crack your bones. DP's got a scheme and my whole team knows it's what's important now. Got the D and the O, so we do big things and the Ravens touching down. Lombardi, I'm sorry to be more party and the trophies leaving town. In the arms of the block of the city, run a dock, Johnny, you would be so proud. Drums is still good from the harbor to the hood. Battle-tested purple soldiers in eyes we trust. Young Tuck so clutch, arm rests upon our shoulders.
There's no Baltimore Ravens if there's not a Mr. Modell's vision.
We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation. We are the Ravens Nation.
All right, now, if that song doesn't get you pumped up, doesn't get you saying you're a part of the Ravens Nation, I don't know what will. Man, thank you so much, Free State Workshop. Check those guys out at Free State Work over on Twitter. You know what? It was in the song. It was the saying, you know, a few years ago, W-I-N, what's important now? They said it in that song. And that's what Ray Rice said in a presser earlier today. He said, it's not about stats anymore. It's about wins. And I think that's what's really important here. Now, we had a lot of things go wrong against Denver when they visited here in Baltimore. But this is something that we're gonna have to discuss here. Peyton Manning, of course, he's one of the best quarterbacks out there. The defense is going to have to learn from their mistakes of what happened, you know, here in Baltimore a few weeks ago, and kind of learn from that and deal with him and shut him down. Because Ray said it earlier today, if you let Peyton do what Peyton wants to do, he's going to do it. You got to stop him from doing that, because Peyton Manning is a great quarterback and he's got a lot of different tools to work with in Denver. It's a whole different team than when he was up in Indy. But again, this is going to be a tough one. There's no doubt about it. The Denver Broncos wouldn't have gotten this far into the postseason if they weren't good. So this is really going to be a tough one, especially what we saw last time. Now, Josh, you brought this up. Up until that pick from Joe Flacco in that Denver Broncos game, that game was, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That was really a momentum changer, and I feel like, you know, there wasn't any wind in the sails anymore for these guys after that interception. So what do the Ravens have to do on the road in Denver, in the mile, in Denver, air's thinner there, you know, it's harder to play, it's cold. What are these guys going to have to do to make sure that what happened a couple weeks ago doesn't happen again now?
They're going to have to duplicate the success they've had this past Sunday. And what I mean by that is execute the game plan. You know, minus the fumbles, take care of the football, the line block for Joe, the running game get going, the precision passes, catch the football, the defense. I know it's asking a lot. If you actually break it down, you're like, well, that means everybody's got to play perfect. No, but if every man plays what they're supposed to do and minimize mistakes and maximize on execution, this team can go all the way and win it. That's any team. You know, any team can beat anybody, and a 9.5-point spread doesn't bother me. This is what I'm talking about. And there were two Super Bowls. I'm going to bring up spreads. And there's two Super Bowls. You talk about underdogs, because obviously the Ravens are going to be an underdog role from here on out, because depending on what happens on Sunday and we win, we got to play Tom Brady, and there's elite quarterbacks we got to face. And Peyton Manning's the first one. And, back in 2000. Yeah, it was 2001, the year after we won the Super Bowl. It was Patriots and the Rams, and the Rams were, 14-point favorites. The Patriots were 14-point underdogs. Patriots won that Super Bowl, and again, when the Patriots were playing the Giants, when the Patriots were about to go undefeated, the Patriots were 14-point favorites, and the Giants beat them. So you can throw it out the window, because you have to allow them to play football. And the pundits are going to think they're not going to get a chance. I don't think anybody's going to pick the Ravens, which is fine, because I like that role. I don't want to be favored by 10. I mean, it's great, and I would love that to happen. I would love the Ravens to be in that position. I'm going to tell you right now, if they get pressure on Manning, they blanket the receivers, and they don't – if Kerry Williams doesn't get beat and they all play the positions, we all know what could happen if Kerry Williams – because Eric Decker put it on him two or three weeks ago. I was there, and I'm just like, really, Kerry? You know, but then he didn't look what Kerry Williams does. He comes back, gets a key interception. And granted, it is a rookie quarterback they faced, but a rookie quarterback, he broke a record this year, and he went 11-5 and took his team to the playoffs for the first year. Not too shabby. Remember, Joe Flacco did the same exact thing. He just went two games farther. Flacco went 11-5 and played in the AFC title game his first year. So, I'm telling you right now, the key is to get pressure on Manning and to stop the running. As I remember, they were run. That's what happened. Is they ran over 100, and I think over 150 total yards on us. And Manning didn't even throw for near 250, so it wasn't really the air assault. It was a balanced attack. They had 150-plus on the ground, 200-plus on the air, and it was just timing the pick six and then the big play with Eric Decker. It was big plays and a balanced attack that beat us, and we didn't show up at all, and we just looked flat at home, which was crazy. And again, we were all injured. We have everybody back. If Bryant McKinney blocks, and it's going to start in the trenches. Again, like I said earlier on the show, the defense get pressure Manning, and the line can block for Flacco. This is going to be a lot closer game, and I actually think it's going to be a very, very, very closer game than people are thinking right now.
I think it's going to be back and forth for a while. I don't think we're going to see somebody or one team, you know, come out until the fourth corner, maybe like the or fourth quarter. Sorry, not corner. Maybe like the last 4 minutes or so is where we're really going to see somebody pull ahead. I think it's going to be neck and neck. It's going to be a dogfight, man. It's going to be crazy. I think a lot of pressure right now is going to be on Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata, and Paul Kruger to get to Manning, but the secondary has definitely got to step up. They have to play their best game. And not everybody has to be perfect, but these guys need to be pretty damn close to perfect because they've been the weak spot this year, and they've had injuries. You know, Webb has been hurt. Webb has been out. And Jimmy Smith also has not played every single game. So a lot of the weight's on Kerry Williams and even someone, Ed Reed, as well. But that's going to be the big thing. If they get to the quarterback, if they get to Peyton, if Suggs and Kruger and Haloti get to Peyton and the secondary is on the ball, I think that we're going to have a very close game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and it's going to be very stressful to watch. As far as the offense goes, just judging from this past game, if Bryant McKinney's in there, I think Joe Flacco is going to have time to do things, and he's going to be able to throw the ball or do whatever he has to do, give it to Ray and not have to hand it off right immediately and let some holes to be made. You know, I had no idea that Bryant McKinney would be this important to this team, but after that performance on Sunday, I got to say he's really the key to the offense right now because it's Joe needs time. Joe needs some time to be able to do things and get things set up, and I think he's the key.
I think right there that's the key to the game. It's going to be very simple. It's a one-game season right now, and right now we're not 1-0. We're 0-0, and we have to have that mentality, and it's going to be a very, very hostile environment. Denver, the fans are going to be up for it. And hopefully, Ravens Nation itself, as we reiterated on the song, Ravens Nation needs to show up their end in Denver, and hopefully, we have a pocket of fans rooting us on. And let's keep this ride going. Not only for Ray Lewis, and not really trying to key on him. Obviously, it's a big deal for Ravens fans, for myself, and for anybody in general. But let's keep the ride going, not only for Ray, but only for the team. In the city and the ride to keep going either in Houston or Foxborough, depending what happens Sunday, because in my big purple heart here, I kind of firmly believe we're going to win this game. And it's playoffs. So someone was asking me this week, you give the Ravens a chance, are you going to pick a loss? I pick losses during regular season, not going to pick losses in playoffs right now. You can't. You know, you're not going to, oh, this team's going to lose. You can't. It's playoffs. It's a fighting mentality. It's gladiator mentality. It's, you know, one man's last going to be left standing on Saturday night, come around 7:30, and it's going to be us. And I'm going to pick a score by us. I'm going to have a 27 to. Actually, I'm going to go up a little bit higher. I'm going to go 30. I'm going to say 30 to 24 Ravens. It's going to be a close one. Like you said, it's going to be shootout early, but I think a couple big stops late, and we stopped third. Stop their drive, and I think we're going to pull a 6-point victory and lay the punt rest, and we're going to have a second straight AFC title game in a row for Ravens. And not only that, but just think about not only title game on the line to go to AFC title game, but think about it, Ravens fans. Think about this. This team has just put us on a great ride the last 5 years. We have had one of the most great runs in Ravens history. Not only did we had it in 2000 when we had that 4-game playoff run and we won 7 straight in the regular season, won 11 straight games and won the Super Bowl. But think about it. We draft Joe Flacco in 2008. We draft Ray Rice right behind him. We trade up to get Flacco. Harbaugh's under coach. Billy Gaxis. We had a bad season that following year, or the previous year in 2007. We went to a title game. We've been to 2 title games in 5 years. We've been to This team has been the elite 8 of the NFL. The last 8 teams in the NFL left standing, and we've been the final 4 AFC teams left in the last 5 years, and we've won a playoff game in one playoff game at least in the last 5 years. We're on sacred ground. Not even the Pittsburgh Steelers can say they've done that. Yes, they got 6 Super Bowls as a franchise. Yes, the Cowboys got 5 or whatever, but we have our own stat. And to me, that's championship football. I don't care about rings and trophies. Yes, that's the ultimate goal, and I would love to have 5 Super Bowls for this franchise. Maybe one day we will. But this is my championship. I'm going to cherish this moment that I was at Ray Lewis' last home game, and I was there for the 5th playoff win in a row in 5 years. And just to cherish that, and we've had 2 playoff home wins in a row. And we just got to hold to that and just as a fan base and has just embrace it, because there might be a time where we might miss the playoffs for 10 straight years, or in the Bills' case where they're on 13 years of playoff appearances not seeing the playoffs, and there will come a time for that. So enjoy Saturday. I keep saying Sunday. We're not used to playing on Saturday, but enjoy Saturday. These 3 hours on Saturday, hold to it, because, again, if this is Ray Lewis's last ride, enjoy it. If it's not, let's keep the party going. I think this team's going to do it. I think we're going to fly high in Denver, and we're going to be in the AFC title game. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It gets harder as it goes on. I'm just that much more excited. I'm passionate about this stuff because this is what you have to appreciate. This is what you build for, and they're consistent for so long, and that's hard to do in the NFL when the parity is such is what it is. The salary cap's there, and you keep overturn players every other year because you can't really hold to these guys. And with what Ogden did, I know his career was shortened due to an injury, and with Ray playing 17 years here from start to finish as a Raven, that never happens. Even Emmitt Smith didn't do that. He played for the Arizona Cardinals, and even Johnny Unitas himself went to the San Diego Chargers, and Joe Montana went to the Chiefs. You know, how weird would it be to see 52 with R. Period Lewis on the back, and it wasn't a Baltimore Raven jersey? It probably would hurt a lot of us, including myself personally, and that's what you have to appreciate. You know, you really can't really take that for granted because we're spoiled in that area. Number 8 did it for the Orioles, and he played 21 years as an Oriole, never got traded to another team, never once did, never once played with another uniform, and we have to appreciate that. Because it doesn't happen often, and with these super, and you just can't really appreciate that till you actually see it in person and experience that with your own home teams. And you're right, like all these big superstars, like even Peyton Manning himself. Look how beloved of a Colt he was, and now he's playing with a orange jersey on Sunday, or I keep saying Sunday. I'm telling you, man, I'm not used to Saturday games, Saturday evening, and even he couldn't stay a Colt his whole life, and. You just have to appreciate that with the true legacy they built, start to finish. And Shannon Sharp did it for us and Rod Woodson. They played for the Broncos and Steelers, respectively, but they won a ring with us. And Shannon Sharp did win a ring with the Broncos, but Rod Woodson won his only ring as a Raven. And even the stars like that in the Hall of Famers, you know, Deion did it, and Marshall Faulk bounced around. And you can go on and name all these stars that played for different teams and didn't spend their whole career with one team. That is something we have to appreciate in Baltimore, and it came full circle this past Sunday, and I'm always going to remember that for the rest of my life. And basically, that's the keys. You know, some of all, that's the keys of the Broncos game, fans. And Brandon, you know, we're going to have to play duplicated football like we did on Sunday, just minimize the turnovers, execute the game plan, and we're going to come out victorious. And my prediction, again, is a 30-24 Ravens win.
I love hearing Ravens win. I like you said, you can't say it's going to be a loss at this point. You know, it's just you're not allowed to say that as a fan. And I totally agree with you. So I want to see a Ravens win, and I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I think it's going to be like 17-14. I think it's going to be a really close game, and I think it's going to be tough. You know, the air is thinner in Denver, and plus they're calling for like teens out there, okay? They're calling for possible snow showers and like 19 as a high. So I think that might actually, the snow might actually, you know, help us out, because, you know, we're a Northeast team. So we've played a lot of times in the snow. It was cold up in New England last year at the AFC title game. And Peyton Manning, he doesn't have as much experience playing in the snow. You know, he was in Indy for such a long time. So that snow and that weather might actually work out in the Ravens' advantage, as the air and the guys that live in Denver and work in Denver normally, that might go to their, you know, be something good on their side as well. So that might work to their advantage. So I think the weather and the air and everything is going to play a very big factor into this game. But I think the Ravens are going to be able to pull it off. And hopefully, you know, this time next week, we're talking about, you know, an AFC title game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, make sure you watch on Saturday, 4:30. I believe CBS is showing the game, so make sure you're tuned there. So go to a bar, have some friends over, make this a family event. You know, have a big crowd around the TV and watch this game and cheer on the Ravens. And you know, it's going to be a fun game. So hopefully everybody enjoys it. I can't wait for Saturday. I'm pretty much going to block all of Saturday off. You know, and I'm not going to do anything else but just wait for this game to come on. So if you guys are bored on Saturday right before the game and you want to tweet to me or Josh, tweet to me at Brando Cash, and we'll be talking Ravens football. Josh, you know, he's always tweeting about something. He was talking about like a Ray Lewis autographed football out there right now that you might be able to win, that the Ravens are putting out there. So, Josh, where can people follow you at on Twitter?
People can always find me on Italian at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. And if you like the call and you want to learn about other shows on the at Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get all the information you need about this show and all the other shows. And hey, hockey's back. Finally, the lockout's over.
Yes, hockey's back. Listen to What the Puck.
Yeah, thank you
very
much.
I'll put that one in there for you, but I'm so glad hockey's back, by the way.
finally, hockey's back. So What the Puck will have something to talk about besides what's going on in like the New York court system right now. So make sure you go over and listen to that show.
But that was interesting, man.
That was interesting, but I want to talk about friggin' puck, man. I want to talk about fights and ice.
I almost thought I was going to have a law degree by the time I was going to listen to those shows. I'm telling you.
But, hey, if you enjoy the call and you want to listen to more, you can go over to iTunes, search The Call. It should be the first podcast that pops up. Make sure you subscribe there. That way, whenever a new show comes out, it gets automatically straight into your iTunes, or get the podcast app and subscribe on your phone. If you have an iPhone, it goes straight to your phone, downloads automatically. If you want to help us out, write an iTunes review, let people know about the call. It kind of helps us, you know, climb the iTunes ladder, get a little bit more recognition. But the biggest way that you can help us, we're not asking for money or anything like that yet, but make sure you go out and tell people all about the call. Tell them on Facebook, on Twitter, take a picture of your screen, show us you're listening to it on Instagram, show people on Tumblr, on Pinterest, any social network you're out there, show us on Tout that you're listening to the call and that you dig it. You know what? Tweet to different Ravens players and tell them about this podcast and that they should listen too. Any way you can help us out, tell people about the podcast. It'll keep growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that would really help us out immensely. So thank you so much for listening. Josh, you know how to send us out. Don't change it at all. Send us out the right way. Send us, you know, on a plane out to Denver.
Did we cover everything though?
You know what? That's a good point. I don't think we have covered everything. We might have. I'm going to ask you that. Did we cover everything?
No. But if not, Ed Reed's got it. You know it. Always had to get that one in there, man.
Of course.
You can't miss anything on playoff week. Now we'll have to. If we missed that, then would it be a jinx, and then we would have just ruined the tradition.
That's right, and it's only crazy if it doesn't work.
See, you're right. Thanks, Bud Light. Not that we were hired to do a plug, but that was pretty funny. yeah, but I'm actually going to do a little mix-up here this week. It's on my Twitter feed, I've seen it, but I'm going to send this out in a good way this week for playoff week and raise that legacy. We're going to honor the only way we know how to do it in Ravens Nation, and we're going to do it this way. Mickey from 98 Rock actually retweeted it when I told him he does the best Ray Lewis impressions. And always when he says, effort is between you and you. And I love it when he says that's one of my favorite Ray Lewis quotes. But we're going to send it out Ray Lewis style. So we're going to say, Baltimore Ravens, fly high, and we're about to get hot here. Let's go, Ravens. Oh!
This has been a production of the at Brando Cash Network.